David Cameron's been talking about why he is no longer Prime Minister, why he lost the referendum and was forced to resign. Here's part of what he told an audience in the United States last night.
So I stand here as a great optimist about how we can combat populism. It may seem odd that I'm so optimistic. After all, the rise of populism cost me my job.
Populism, a word that means very different things to different people. And he wants to, Mr. Cameron, that is, wants to combat it. Should we combat it? Whatever it may be, I am joined by two great thinkers on the subject, Simon Jenkins of The Guardian and Joan Smith, writer and human rights campaigner. Go on, Joan.
I think populism is... people define it as representing the people, but that raises all kinds of questions like which people, who are these people? And I think sometimes what it turns into is kind of celebrating and manipulating first thoughts. And you can see things like Twitter, a monument to the, you know, the why second thoughts are a really good thing. And I think what populism does is it takes real problems and it offers incredibly simplistic solutions. And solutions that sometimes are actually quite dishonest, as we can see from Trump in the United States. And that's very hard in an atmosphere where people want those simple solutions, but it isn't necessarily what they think they're voting for.
Simon?
Well, I think the word is meaningless. I really do. I don't know what he thought he was saying. And whatever he says to
what's it mean to you?
It doesn't mean anything to me. He really does. I mean, as Joan said, it's become a euphemism for exploiting the baser instincts of the general public, which is a profoundly patronising way of looking at the general public. But to say that he was defeated by this and he's got to combat it sounds like an old-fashioned aristocrat complaining about the tenants in rebellion. I mean, it just is ridiculous. What is happening now, and this is fascinating, is almost all these words are degenerating in our hands. We can't use left and right. We can't use liberal conservative. We can't use globalist and nationalist in their traditional terms anymore because they've become alternative words of abuse and approbation, depending on what other message you're trying to get across. And I think what's so interesting about politics now is everything is shattered. I mean, the concept of the traditional party is shattered. Groups are defining themselves as liberal or conservative, depending on how it affects their interests. I think this business of a sort of state and an interest in the state being liberal, and then the lumpen proletariat being in some sense reactionary, again is a rather cheap way of describing it. I think poor Cameron. I mean, he got beat because he screwed up. But to say it's because of populism, it really doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean, John, when you say, or what does he mean when he says it's because of populism? How do you interpret that?
Segment 1.
David Cameron's been talking about why he is no longer Prime Minister, why he lost the referendum and was forced to resign. Here's part of what he told an audience in the United States last night.
So I stand here as a great optimist about how we can combat populism. It may seem odd that I'm so optimistic. After all, the rise of populism cost me my job.
Populism, a word that means very different things to different people. And he wants to, Mr. Cameron, that is, wants to combat it. Should we combat it? Whatever it may be, I am joined by two great thinkers on the subject, Simon Jenkins of The Guardian and Joan Smith, writer and human rights campaigner. Go on, Joan.
Segment 2.
I think populism is... people define it as representing the people, but that raises all kinds of questions like which people, who are these people? And I think sometimes what it turns into is kind of celebrating and manipulating first thoughts. And you can see things like Twitter, a monument to the, you know, the why second thoughts are a really good thing. And I think what populism does is it takes real problems and it offers incredibly simplistic solutions and solutions that sometimes are actually quite dishonest, as we can see from Trump in the United States. And that's very hard in an atmosphere where people want those simple solutions, but it isn't necessarily what they think they're voting for.
Segment 3.
Simon?
Well, I think the word is meaningless. I really do. I don't know what he thought he was saying. And whatever he says to
what's it mean to you?
It doesn't mean anything to me. He really does. I mean, as Joan said, it's become a euphemism for exploiting the baser instincts of the general public, which is a profoundly patronising way of looking at the general public. But to say that he was defeated by this and he's got to combat it sounds like an old-fashioned aristocrat complaining about the tenants in rebellion. I mean, it just is ridiculous. What is happening now, and this is fascinating, is almost all these words are degenerating in our hands. We can't use left and right. We can't use liberal conservative. We can't use globalist and and nationalist in their traditional terms anymore, because they've become alternative words of abuse and approbation, depending on what other message you're trying to get across.
Segment 4.
And I think what's so interesting about politics now is everything's shattered. I mean, the concept of the traditional party is shattered. Groups are defining themselves as liberal or conservative, depending on how it affects their interests. I think this business of a sort of state and an interest in the state being liberal, and then the lumpen proletariat being in some sense reactionary, again is a rather cheap way of describing it. Mm. I think poor Cameron. I mean, he got beat because he screwed up. But to say it's because of populism, it really doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean, John, when you say, or what does he mean when he says it's because of populism? How do you interpret that?